I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Racetrack, Greg Hoffman.
I had to walk myself back there, dude.
You did. We're at the sports book.
I was JP at the window.
Was at the window and then found out that the second half line for UVA is
14 and a hook. Just a little rich.
Never mind.
Because they're down 6. I think they're going to win. I think they win by – you need them to win by 9 to cover that. And it just – I don't know, man.
It's a lot.
UVA is not an explosive offense. They're much like the Redskins. They're not an explosive offense.
No, they're a very Alex Smithian basketball
team. They are.
That's probably a good way to describe it.
And I'm going to be rooting against them. So it's way easier to root against them if I'm not betting on them.
When you're not invested. Jordan Reed covers the NFL for a website and a blog network called Cover One. Not the tight end from the Redskins. I feel like I'd say that every time just in case.
Well, especially for our audience.
Right, for our audience. But Jordan Reed, you can follow on Twitter as well, at JReedNFL, Reed, R-E-I-D, NFL. And he joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's Craig Hoffman. That's me, JP Finley, him in for Chad Dukes today. Jordan, what's up, man? How are you?
Good, guys. How you doing? And I'm so glad you said that because I always get mistaken either for the Redskins tight end, Jordan Reed, or that I think there's also a Washington beat writer up there named Jordan
Jason
Reed that
Reed.
Covers.
Jason Reed.
Yeah.
And he spells it the same way as you.
Right. And his nickname is Jay Reed. So, but it's all right. On this show, you're Jay Reed now.
So I started following Jordan. And you and I like started DMing almost right away. I want to say it was right around even before the combine, maybe right after the beginning of the year. Your Twitter feed is really good, and what you do on your film breakdowns, how you isolate one player and then show the whole thing, is really fantastic. But you know, when you and I were DMing to set you up coming on here, I wanted to talk QBs. Hoff, I know, is always up to talk QBs.
Always.
Because he and I just went through our list of the most important players the Redskins are going to have in 2019, and we both believe they're going to draft one or trade for Josh Rosen. There's going to be a young player here, and I want to ask you, Kyler Murray ain't coming to Washington because Kyler Murray's going to Arizona. Who do you like next, and what does your QB big board look like?
Well, so I have Murray at the top, and I have Haskins right after that, and then you kind of get into the second-tier guys. You get into Drew Lock and Daniel Jones, Will Greer. And right now I actually have it in that same exact order. So I have it Kyler Murray, then I have Dwayne Haskins, then I have Drew Lock. And the Redskins are kind of in an interesting spot because they seem to be kind of on the outside looking in as far as maybe getting those top three guys, because even though Drew Lock has been kind of left in the wind between those two guys, between Haskins and Murray, I still don't know if they're going to be in position to get one of those top three guys, because I think Drew Lock is going to end up going in the top 12, because we all know these quarterbacks are going to be pushed up the board every year. It happens every single year. We saw four guys go in that top area last year. So I think somehow those top three are going to be pushed up the board. But if the Redskins want their guy, I think they're going to have to trade up to get him. Now, we'll see if they do that, because Doug Williams has kind of been on the fence. He's went back and forth about it, and they've done their homework on all of these guys, especially Daniel Jones. They've really been tracking him a lot, and also Drew Lock as well. So it's really going to be interesting to see, especially at 15, do they take a guy and wait on him to take him right there, or do they move up to go get their guy?
I want to follow up the way you phrased your order there. You said, you know, it's Murray, Haskins, and then you get to a next tier of guys. So do you think Dwayne Haskins is closer to Kyler Murray or closer to Drew Lock, your third-ranked quarterback?
I think he's closer to Lock, and I was just speaking from the media perspective as far as how they have them ranked. And I don't want to speak down on Dwayne Haskins because I am a big fan of him, but I think Kyler Murray is much more superior to what he is. And why do I say that? It's because the way the NFL game is going now, I think you have to have a quarterback that can create off schedule. And with all the young quarterbacks that we have seen coming to the league over the past few years, even going back to last year with Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and even Josh Rosen to an extent, some of those guys are able to create off script. and they have to be able to do that. And I think Haskins is a much superior athlete than what Rosen was coming out as far as just looking at them in games. But he doesn't have that foot speed and that quickness like Kyler Murray does have. And with the situations that each of those guys are going into, and, I mean, let's just be honest, with how big the disparity is between the offensive and defensive line talents around the league, you're going to have a guy that can create off script. And that's why I have Murray ranked over Haskins right now.
Well, I think there's also – you still can be a really good pocket quarterback where you can create off script, but it's not going downfield. You're not running the ball, but you're still able to slide around in the pocket so much that you're able to dump the ball off. And I think that's kind of the QB Haskins would be. But I'm with you. I think it's Murray and then Haskins. I like Haskins. One guy that – you said the Skins are interested in. What's your report on Daniel Jones? Because Hoffman and I have each met and talked to this kid a couple times now at the Senior Bowl and at the Combine. Personally, he doesn't leave me impressed, but I wonder, A, if that matters, and B, if he's not somebody that could change a lot in a year in an NFL system.
Yeah, and that's just the type of vibe that you're going to get from him. And if you have never met Daniel Jones in your life and you're meeting him for the first time, he is not going to excite you at all. And that's why a lot of people are really comparing him to Eli Manning, not just an on-the-field standpoint, it's an off-the-field standpoint. And my first interaction with him was actually down at the Senior Bowl, and he just leaves so much room to operate. And the first thing that you notice about Daniel Jones is that he is not going to light up a room with his personality. He's very dry. He's very bland. And that's why a lot of people really aren't gravitating towards him. And there's some skeptical points made about him. But he's not going to have a bunch of those leadership qualities through a microphone. He's going to show all of his leadership qualities on the field. And he's more of a lead by example type of guy. He's not going to be your flashy guy like a Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins or even a Drew Lock to an extent, expressing that type of swagger. He's more of a lead by example type guy. And that's why a lot of people are really down on Daniel Jones. But I think I would be more comfortable with taking him in the second round. I still think he's going to end up going in the first round because I alluded to earlier, these quarterbacks are going to be pushed up the board. But as far as a personality and intangible standpoint, he's not going to light up a room.
Our guest is Jordan Reed, breaks down at film for the NFL, and then obviously this time of year for the NFL draft, looking at college film. I saw that you did a breakdown recently of DK Metcalf, and that's a guy that I was talking to a scout right before the combine, and I said, you know, what do you think about the receivers? And he goes, I actually don't like Metcalf as much as I like some of the other guys. N'Keal Harry, I like his teammate down at Ole Miss, Brown better. I like Marquise Brown from Oklahoma better. And then he goes out and has a combine workout that I would describe as confusing. The straight line vertical speed, obviously terrific. The straight vertical, terrific. The change of direction stuff was awful. What do you see when you watch him on tape, and how do you rank him in the midst of the receivers?
Well, he's actually my top guy right now. And the thing that you have to understand about DK is that he's not going to be a great east and west mover, as was evident by his combine measurables. I mean, his three cone was absolutely dreadful, and it matches up with the tape because he really struggles to interchange directions in that east-west type of movement. But if you get him going vertically and you keep his routes really in the deep portions of the field, I think he can have some value there. But now if you're asking him to run those routes in the short to intermediate areas, that's really not where his value is going to lie. And the common comparison for him has been Josh Gordon, and I think that's spot on because Josh Gordon was never known as this vicious route runner that just creates an ample amount of separation. But if you throw the ball up to him in the intermediate to deep areas of the field to where he can use that big body and he can play above the rim and go get those balls in those areas, I think that's where his value is going to lie.
And it's going to be interesting because Doug Williams has said repeatedly that if there's a QB there at 15, it's an easy choice. I'm not sure that of the guys in the top tier we think there will be. How much do you think a trade back for a guy like – one thing I try to keep in mind, the Raiders hold the 24th and 27th pick in the NFL draft. Obviously, John and Jay Gruden talk a lot and compare their notes about football. I don't think it's crazy to rule out the Skins trying to trade back, getting an extra pick, wherever that might be, in the third round or something, because everybody over there, on the record and off the record, will tell you they got a lot of holes to fill. And if they could add an extra third round pass rusher, cornerback, maybe a receiver, positions that have some depth in this draft, they'd love to do it. What do you what do you think the chances are of a guy like Jones in the 20s, whether it's with the Skins or not? Because I know you said you believe he's a first-rounder. Drew Lock maybe gets overdrafted into the top 10, top 12. Where do you see Jones landing?
I think the sweet spot is probably from 17 to 24, like you talked about. And it starts with the Giants at 17. That really is the spot that a lot of people are pegging him at.
Sure.
Yeah, and there's a lot of connections between the Giants and Daniel Jones just because of the Eli Manning connection. I mean, him and Daniel Jones share the same agent. The Cutcliffe connection that has really been beaten like a dead horse to this point that we've heard a lot. So I think 17 to 24 with the Raiders, like you said, I think that definitely could be a possibility. Now, are the Raiders going to draft a quarterback? I'm not sure. I think this is probably going to be one more lad to rah with Derek Carr. I think they're probably going to give him another year to prove his worth. If not, then they're going to move on then. So I'm not sure if the Raiders are going to take a quarterback. But if the Redskins do want to trade back, because they do have so many holes to fill, I would like to see them find a tight end in this class, because I don't think Jordan Reed is the long-term solution there. We know Vernon Davis is much older now, so I think they need some type of youth in that room. So maybe they take a Noah Fant or a T.J. Hockenson in a trade-back situation if either one of those guys are there, if they're not comfortable taking them that early at 15, or even a Irv Smith Jr. in the second round. Also, I like to see them fill their need at receiver as well. So I think they have some needs on the offensive side of the ball that they definitely could cash in this draft class.
Yeah, they have a lot of needs on the offensive side of the ball. Is there one of those two tight ends from Iowa that you like more than the other for the Redskins specifically? Because I think there's arguments to be made for both. Hockenson is more of a complement to Reed. Fant is a more direct replacement. If you're them at 15 and both are available, who would you take?
Me personally, I would take Fant, just because I think with how the NFL is trending and how it's revolving around the passing game so much, he's such an ultimate chess piece and weapon that you can use him anywhere along the formation. You can line him about wide. You can use him in line as well. And him being 6'5", 250, he's just that mismatch and that matchup nightmare that you love to utilize. And it really just depends on what type of flavor and type of player that you want. Hockenson is the more well-rounded player that has some receiving upside, but he's a player that I like to call comes in a clear wrapper. You know exactly what you're getting as soon as you draft him. And he's going to be that tenacious run blocker from day one. If you want to have that ground and pound type of attack with Darius Geis and Adrian Peterson, even Samaje Perine for extent, who they're going to have in the game at that time, he's going to be a contributor in that area, but also he's going to have some value in the passing game as well. With Fant, his blocking in the running department isn't going to be as great, and his upside as a run blocker is nowhere near as good as what Hockenson's will be. So it really just depends on what type of player and what type of flavor that you want at the tight end position.
All right, we've talked a lot about quarterbacks, a little bit of receiver. Defensively, who's the best player they can get at 15? We saw Montez Sweat was a target, and then he crushed it at the combine. He's probably moved up. But now there's this news about the heart condition. I wonder how that will impact him. If they go defense at 15, who do you think it is?
They're in a really tough situation, because do you take a defensive guy? Do you cash in on this historically great defensive line class? Or do you take and you fill your offensive side of the needs as well? So maybe they take a guy like Brian Burns to come off the edge to replace what they missed or what they lacked in Preston Smith now that he's gone to Green Bay. You can take a Brian Burns. I don't think Jakai Polite will be there for them at 15. I don't think he's going to go that early, and I don't think they're going to be comfortable taking him. But I think Brian Burns could definitely be. I think he might be a second rounder now, which is crazy to say. Prior to the combine, he was looking to be a top 12 pick, but that's another story for another day. So I think a guy like Brian Burns, I think he definitely could be in play there at 15.
Jordan Reed, you can follow him on Twitter at JReedNFL, R-E-I-D on the Reed. Jordan, this was awesome, man. Look forward to following your stuff on Twitter leading up to the draft. I'm sure we'll talk again before then.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks a lot, Jordan.
Jordan Reed on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. So probably about 10 minutes ago at this point, there was quite a roar.
There was.
And
what was it for?
It was for you, JP.
Anteaters, baby. Anteater Nation, represent. I am plus 22. How much money did I make? 2270.
There you go.
$22.70. Honestly, if I can get over there, I'm thinking I might go bet on Gardner Webb in the second half. I'm going the opposite way. I'm going to take the 14.5 and just
that
don't think they get blown out.
Is not a bad idea.
So I
might have
I'll
to
let
go
you
with
finish
you.
Segment here.
I might have to go in with you on that because clearly fading you like I did on the last bet as I was on Kansas State. Also, death to my survivor pool. Hey, at least I made it to day two this year. That was a stupid pick. And Mississippi State loses later, then I'll feel less bad about it because I knew I wanted Mississippi State and I couldn't figure out who else I wanted. It's the hard part because, like, you got to pick someone who you don't think is going to make it past this round but is definitely going
to
win.
It's tricky.
It's a tough life out there, gambling. That's why I typically don't do it. But if you'd like to.
But it's way more fun.
Yes, it is very fun.
Keep that window open. I'm coming for a Gardner Webb bet.
All right, we're going to talk more skins when we get.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get back, and in JP's case, that'll be literally. JP Finley, Craig Hoffman in for Dukes today on Chad Dukes versus the World. Craig Hoffman, JP Finley in for Dukes today. We are live at Hollywood Casino in the Sportsbook, where we have new investments. We will share them with you coming up at the end of the hour. But right now, we're going to talk about the actual hoops and
lots
not our
of
gambling.
New investments.
With Rob Doster of NBC Sports. I'm Craig Hoffman, JP Finley, as we said, in for Dukes today. Rob, how are you, man? Do we have Rob?
No, apparently not.
We don't have Rob. Just
right,
kidding.
Let's
talk about
our new
investments,
which is already looking bad.
Yes, very, very bad.
So,
Asher just gave the update with the actual score of Virginia and Gardner-Webb, and Virginia has already changed and now, in fact, is taking the lead after a free throw.
They 39-38.
Have the
lead now?
Yeah.
Right.
We are on Gardner-Webb in the second half.
Let's go Bulldogs. Let's
run
slow
Bulldogs.
Things down here.
Get the whole thing right.
Since when does UVA score 6 points? I guess it's been 3 minutes. That's their pace.
Yeah. It'll be fine. We're just going to hope that things go well. And
that
in the meantime, we're going to talk to Rob because we have Rob now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Rob, Craig Hoffman and JP Finley here. How are you?
I'll be doing a lot better if Virginia can end up covering what I need them to cover. But I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Now, do you have the eight, like the game spread? Because we just got on the second half.
No, I took them. It was when it was the 12-point game. I got it at Virginia minus. I think it was minus 8.5. Is where
okay,
I got
so
it.
So doing some live betting. All right, we got the second half. We got Gardner-Webb plus 15. So there is a needle. Our bet and your bet could thread where all parties are happy.
Yes, hopefully that's what we end up on.
Yeah, of course that's what we are all rooting for. What is it about Virginia? I mean, they obviously to be in even the realm of possibility to be upset as a number one seed 2 years in a row means you have to be a number one seed 2 years in a row. And what they've built down in Charlottesville is obviously very impressive. But why do you think they have found themselves in this position for the second straight year where they are sweating against a 16 seed?
I mean, this just looked like they were nervous coming out of the gates, man. And you know, it's understandable. Given everything that they've been through in the last year after what happened last season and, you know, all the losses that they had taken in the history of that program, like the lack of March success that they've had under Tony Bennett, you can kind of understand how they would come out tight a little bit. I think at the start of the second half, we've seen them come out a little angrier. I wonder what exactly Tony Bennett said in that locker room to get them fired up. But this looks like a very, very different basketball team that we've seen in the first 4 minutes here than we saw in the first 20. Like they were nervous, man. I think that they'll even admit it after the game. We'll see what they say. But they look like downright scared. And I think it's really just that simple. You know, Virginia is legitimately like a top two team in the country. And the only way they could lose to a team like a Gardner-Webb in a situation like this is that they get inside their heads and they beat themselves. And it looks like they've stopped trying to beat themselves here in the second half.
Do you wonder, though, if their style, and I know the efficiency numbers and all that stuff, but do you wonder if their style can go deep in March? The way the Wahoos kind of slow it down and play that, you know, it's a deliberate pace.
I think it can. And, you know, the reason why is we've seen, like, Wisconsin make the Final Four doing this 2 years in a row when they had Frank Kaminsky. So I think it's possible.
That's with an elite player, right?
Yeah, and I would put DeAndre Hunter in the conversation of being elite. You know, for me, he is a first-team All-American. He's a guy I would take in the top five of the NBA draft. But, no, I get what you're saying. Like, the problem is you just got to think about it, like, from sample sizes, right? If you're trying to beat somebody on 80 possessions, if you're, like, 0.1 points better than them per possession, it's easier to do it when you have more possessions. There's a reason why underdogs, what they try to do is slow down the game. It's easier to pull off an upset if you play fewer number of possessions, because you have to be better than that team a fewer number of times. So it kind of plays into the other team's hands, and it plays into an opponent's hands when Virginia does that. But I think that just like this team in particular, the one that they have right now, I think with the things that they can do offensively and how many good players and good scores they have, I think this group is a little bit different than the past ones. But like I said, they got to get out of their head to be able to make it happen. And you know, I think they're doing it here in the second half, but I'm never ever going to feel comfortable about Virginia playing in an NCAA tournament game with a lead.
Rob Doster, NBC Sports, with us here on Chad Dukes versus the World. Craig and JP in for Dukes today. We're live at the Hollywood Casino out at Charlestown, West Virginia. Tennessee also in trouble right now. They're just up 3 against Colgate. And so you see some of these top seeds struggling. We've seen some do just fine. Where do you draw the line of elite right now? How many teams kind of are in a class by themselves? I think Duke obviously is up there. You just said you think Virginia's up there, despite what's happening on the court right now, North Carolina. Like, where's your line for the truly elite teams that, in your mind, are the favorites going into this tournament?
I think there's a very clear-cut delineation between the top two seeds and the rest of the field, with the exception of Texas Tech. I think I would factor Texas Tech in. I don't think that there's that much difference between them and Michigan in the West region. But I think it's very – I have a very chalky bracket because I don't see very many situations where these top two seeds could end up losing before they get to you know, a little bit further in the tournament, which, frankly, like, sounds a little bit silly right now since we're watching, like, the number one seed and the number two seed in the South region almost end up playing for their lives, so to speak, for a little bit. So we'll see if that ends up coming to fruition. And you know, I haven't had a lot of luck in my bracket in recent years, but I think it's very clear that the top two seeds are better than everybody else.
I feel like I deserve an award for waiting this long to talk about my Terps, but here we are. What did you think of their game against Belmont? And more importantly, what do you think about tomorrow's matchup against LSU?
I was actually very impressed with Maryland. I don't feel like I had a very good grasp on just how good they actually were this season based on watching them, because it just felt like every time they would come out and do something that made you impressed, they would come out the next game and it would just be a performance like they'd lose by 15 at home. I think that they're talented enough to be able to make a run. I think that they can absolutely beat this LSU team. It's actually going to be a fascinating matchup because, like, you're going to see two teams with massive athletic front courts in LSU and Maryland. You're going to have Naz Reid. You're going to have Cavell Bigby-Williams. You're going to have Emmett Williams going up against Jalen Smith and Bruno Fernando and Ricky Lindo. And I think it's going to come down to who is able to control the glass and control the paint, because I think that the wings and the point guard play is going to kind of cancel each other out. And I think that Maryland has a pretty good chance to do it. I don't think that Naz Reid wants to do anything on the defensive end of the floor. And if you could put him in a situation where he's got to guard Bruno Fernando, I think Bruno wins that matchup 7 times out of 10. So I think that is probably a positive for Maryland going into this game. And I also think that, you know, it's a coaching thing. Tony Benford is not the head coach. There's a little bit of it's almost like a substitute teacher kind of a thing when you don't have your head coach there. And I don't think Mark Turgeon is John Wooden here, but I do think that he is good enough to be able to make the adjustments he needs to make at halftime. And if you look at the last three games that LSU has played, they played Vanderbilt even in the second half without Will Wade. They blew a 10-point halftime lead and lost to to Florida in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament without Will Wade. And then on Thursday, they blew, I think they were up by 20 against Yale and ended up having to hang on to win by five in the final minutes in the second half without Will Wade. So I think that as long as Maryland can keep it close and they're right there in the first half, this is the kind of thing where you'll be able to pull them away in the second half. I guess the best way to phrase it is bet LSU in the first half, bet Maryland for the full game.
I like it.
For those that didn't know about Ja Morant, now they know. Yesterday, 17, 16, and 11 in the win over Marquette for Murray State. Can he repeat anything close to that against Florida State? And does Murray State have a real chance so that we get to see all of the Ja Morant stories leading into the second weekend?
I mean, here's the thing about it, right? Like, my head says that this is just an awful matchup for him. Because Florida State, I mean, you guys have watched ACC basketball. Florida State has like 28 guys on their roster that are 6'7" with a 7-foot wingspan and are really athletic. They are top 10 defense nationally. Leonard Hamilton recruits guys based on their ability to defend. You put all that together, and I just don't think Ja Morant is going to have anywhere near the space that he had to operate against Marquette. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as easy for him to beat the first defender and get in the lane as it was against Marquette. So I don't think you're going to be able to see him, you know, throwing these pinpoint passes all over the place again, like he did against Marquette. So my head says, you know, this is going to end up being a Florida State win. But like my heart, like watching him play, like that felt a lot like Stephen Curry did the 2008 tournament, didn't it? And I want to see him make this run. I want more Ja Morant in my life. I want to see him try to put up 40 on everybody that he goes and plays. I want to see him go up against Gonzaga because that game would be so much fun if it ended up happening. So I got to go, you know, I got to bet against my head here and go with Murray State and say that they're going to get it done. Just, you know, at some point you just kind of have to bet on talent, right? And I think he is the guy. If you're going to bet on talent, you might as well bet on Ja Morant.
Yeah, no doubt. Guys, give me a top five pick coming up in the NBA draft. We've obviously seen a couple of upsets in the 5-12, as we just talked about, and the 4-13, as we started talking about. Tonight, the four seed is Virginia Tech. They've got St. Louis, a game that you can hear right here on 106.7 The Fan. What do you make of the Hokies' chances tonight and to get out of the first weekend?
I think that there is a pretty good chance that they get out of the first weekend. This game is going to be tougher than people realize, though. Like, St. Louis has a lot of talent on their roster. They got a kid named Assam French, who would be one of the better big men in the ACC if he played in the ACC instead of the Atlantic 10. Javon Best is a guy that transferred in from Michigan State, who is one of the better perimeter defenders that you are going to find. Tremaine Isabel averaged 21 points a game last year, and they got a kid named Jordan Goodwin, who was a top 50 recruit and who could definitely play at Virginia Tech if he ended up going to Virginia Tech. So this is a really, really good defensive team. The problem with them is that they just can't score. You know, Travis Ford, he's known for a lot of things as a basketball coach. Being a really good X's and O's tactician is not one of those things. And I think that that's where Virginia Tech is going to be able to get this thing done, because I think they're good enough defensively that they will be able to hold St. Louis to about 55 points, 60 points, something like that. And I just can't see that being enough to beat a Virginia Tech team that can score and shoot the way that this team can.
Duster, everybody's either picking Duke or Carolina. I'm wondering if you got one of those two, or who's your horse to win this thing?
I have Duke winning the national title, but if we're talking about like what betting futures I invested in, I have some for Virginia, I have some for Kentucky, I have some for Michigan, and I have some for Tennessee. I do not have any Duke betting futures, so I'm kind of torn here on who I need to root for.
There's no price on being right. And so I think Duke is the correct answer. But then again, I don't. Depending on how big the bets are, that I could easily be swayed a different direction.
I'd rather have money than being right.
But being right gets you paid in the long run. Got to play the long run, the long game, JP.
Oh, my gosh.
I
hope everybody in their car is safely still driving after they all rolled their eyes at Craig.
It's not as bad as what Russell said yesterday. I have to tell you about that next. Nobody cares about that. For right now, we just need to say goodbye to Rob. Rob, thank you for coming on the show. I hope some of your bets hit, although I hope that you are also correct, because that means I'm correct, too.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks a lot, man.
Rob Doster, you can read him at NBCSports.com. Has done a terrific job for a long time on the college basketball talk portion of that page, writing about NCAA hoops.
He built that page.
Yeah, that dude's
it's very impressive.
So good, yeah. About talking hoops, and glad to get him on the show. I'm Craig Hoffman. That's JP Finley. Coming up next, we will circle back around to what we were talking about in the last hour of the show as we wrap up our top 16 most important Redskins list, and we've wiped the slate clean. 5 o'clock hour, we get your calls and reaction to that. So we got a lot of players to get through. We will do that next here on Chad Dukes versus the World. All right, we got to scoot so we can get to phone calls at 5 o'clock at 800-636-1067. Craig Hoffman, J.P. Finley in for Dukes today. We're live at Hollywood Casino in the Sportsbook with our eye on a bunch of games that Nick Ashew will give you updates for at the top of the hour. In the 3 o'clock hour, we ran through an article that J.P. wrote for NBCSportsWashington.com in which he ranked the 16 most important Redskins. We got through our top 12 each. We have a first four out as well in the spirit of March Madness. Just to real quickly recap, my 1 through 12 go like this. QBX, which is a quarterback not on the roster yet, but someone who will be on a rookie salary. Jordan Reed is number 2, then Jonathan Allen. 4 is Reuben Foster. 5, Darius Guice. 6, Chris Thompson. 7, Trent Williams. 8, Brandon Scherff. 9, Josh Norman. 10, Paul Richardson. 11, Landon Collins. 12, Ryan Kerrigan. JP, your top 12.
Trent Williams, QBX, Case Keenum, Landon Collins, Brandon Scherff rounds out my top 5. Then I go Reuben Foster, John Allen, Ryan Kerrigan, Daron Payne, Adrian Peterson. Number 11 is Josh Norman. Number 12 is Darius Guice.
All right, I don't think we have a lot of overlap in 12 or in 13 through 16.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one guy I see on there that we have overlapped, and that'll actually kind of go right into where I'm going to start, because my 13 and 14 go together, and that's Colt McCoy and Case Keenum. The reason I have McCoy ahead of Keenum is if QBX is someone who wins the starting job and then they decide to keep one of the two, I think it will be Colt McCoy, and Colt will be...
They're keeping both.
The mentor.
You think they're cutting one of those two?
I don't think it's a 0% chance. I would bet that
after
they're both
what
there.
Happened last year, going to Mark Sanchez and
Understood.
Josh Johnson.
Understood. But Colt, because of it, even if they're both there, Colt's institutional knowledge of this offense as someone who's been there for 6 years is really important for QBX.
Sure.
So I don't know how different they are as players. In fact, the most common comp you get for Case is Colt. And so it'll be interesting to see if Keenum can overcome Colt's institutional knowledge in a practice setting, even though he's got a lot more game experience. Either way, obviously quarterback is important. They're probably, frankly, too low on this list. But I just think they're very average, and the guys that they're going to throw to are very important. That's why I have them at 12 and 13. 15, or they're 13, 14, 15, I have Daron Payne.
Wow.
Obviously, terrific player, had a huge impact last year in conjunction with Allen. I think Allen's more important as a tone setter and as a guy. And it's interesting, too, because I think Ioannidis might be better than – Ioannidis, production-wise, was better than both those guys last year.
In the
sack department, he was unbelievable.
In less time.
Yes. So I almost feel weird not putting Ioannidis on this list, but ultimately I think Payne's ceiling, there's a reason he was a first-round pick. And then at 16, I have Sean Dion Hamilton, because if he's going to be the signal caller of the defense, he's really important. And
I think Landon Collins can do that.
he's the one who calls the plays.
Right.
I understand. Look, Collins is higher on this list because I think he's a better player. I think he can have a huge impact. And Foster is higher on this list because I think he can be a better player and have a bigger impact. But Sean Dion Hamilton needs to be really good for them if this defense is going to be the kind of defense that can be relied upon to win them football games.
Fair. I just don't know that he's that good.
Well, that would still qualify as important.
Sure. He's my size, dude. You know what I mean?
Like, he's bigger than you.
He's my height and build. Now, he's way, way more muscular than me.
John Morant is my height.
No, he's not.
He's not that big. Not that tall.
I bet he's taller than you.
He's
all right, my list.
Yeah.
Quentin Dunbar, who I'm very surprised you didn't name.
Love Quentin Dunbar.
I think...
Okay, John Morant, 6'3".
Yeah, dude. You basketball players that look short are still much taller than you think because everybody on the court is way taller.
Fine. Allen Iverson was my height.
Sure.
Height doesn't mean much.
Quentin Dunbar, the Redskins defense is way better with him out there.
Quentin Dunbar.
Josh Norman is tall. Better. It's just you don't know if Dunny's going to be able to go. And until they know that, it's a very big question mark. 14, you didn't have him on your list. I do. Matt Ioannidis. Really productive, 7.5 sacks in 9 starts. Ioannidis was a beast. He's had durability issues, and they need him to make it through the whole year, and he needs to make it through the whole year. He's going into a contract year, and with the money they're probably going to want to and have to pay John Allen and Daron Payne, I don't know that Matt Ioannidis is in the long-term plans for the Skins. If he is, they probably try to get something done now or soon.
Yeah,
because you don't want to let him get to free agency.
No.
You certainly don't want to have to use a franchise tag at that position.
Nope.
So those are all things to consider when you're looking long-term at Matt Ioannidis.
One thing real quick is kind of an aside. The Redskins have done well in the draft. They've been bad at hanging on to those players. Like, Preston Smith was, relatively speaking, a hit. Like, he wasn't a massive hit, but he was a hit. And all of a sudden...
Crowder?
Yeah, Crowder. He's a hit. And they're somewhere else. The whole point of hitting on players is to keep them around. And
UVA now curb stomping Gardner Webb.
Yeah, good job on convincing me to bet with you on that.
No, I didn't convince you. Yes, I was walking over there. You're like, oh, I'll get in.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
You convinced
me. I was
me?
Also going to lay the points with UVA, and then you said, no, that's too many. So you reverse convinced me.
Gardner Webb just hit a shot. We're doing great. Continue on the Redskins thing.
15, I have Colt McCoy. I want to be clear on this. I think you are butt crazy to not think they're keeping 3 quarterbacks next year.
I still would bet on them doing that. I'm just saying if one of them is gone, I don't think it will be Colt.
It's the guy they just traded for and are paying $3.5 million.
That's not a lot of money.
It's all relative. I think all 3 quarterbacks are going to be on the roster.
I would like $3.5 million
record. I think all 3 quarterbacks are going to start next year. So, although I guess if Case gets the starting job, he is dependable. But if he sputters a little bit, I think Jay would go to Colt.
Very possible.
My 16 seed, Tressway. And I recognize that punters don't normally make these sorts of lists.
But punters are people, too.
He was a tremendous weapon for them last year. Tremendous. The no-touchbacks thing can't be talked about enough. When they were winning, it was ugly. It was ball control. It was field position. Tress was a huge part of that. I kind of think for them to win again this season is a similar formula, and I think Tress needs to be a big part of it.
All right, my first 4 out. Dunbar, reasons you said, he's super important. Ryan Anderson, who's not been mentioned yet, to be the guy, if he takes a big leap and can fill out the pass rushing side of his game to add to what he did as a run-stopping player last year.
Another
and a guy
with durability questions.
Absolutely, and staying healthy, especially with how thin they are at that position. Like, he is massively important for this team. And I think has potential to still be really good and be a hit as a second-round pick. Trey Quinn, because of how important the slot position is. If he's going to be the guy, like, he's got to replace Crowder. He's got to make it worth them not paying Jamison that money. I think Trey Quinn's really important. And even though I feel really dumb not having Ioannidis, like, Tressway is kind of important to this team. I put Tressway on my last 4 out, or my first 4 out.
I like your last 4 out. I think Ryan Anderson is a great point. I think one thing that gets isn't talked about enough, is the Skins' lack of production from the second round. Second rounders need to be starters and contributors. They need
yes.
to play. And if you look at their last few, Ryan Anderson, Darius Geis, Sua Cravens.
Geis has been farther than that. Preston Smith, Trent Murphy, David Amerson.
Sure. Now, and Geis has been hurt, so you don't want to prematurely rule on that. But the rest of those guys, I mean, Cravens didn't make it to the end of his contract. Amerson didn't make it to the end of his contract. I mean,
and then you couldn't hold on to Murphy and Smith.
Well, and you chose not to.
Right.
Ultimately, that was a choice, dude. And they chose to, and they're trying to play the compensatory picks game. I get all that, but they let those guys walk. I think Ryan Anderson, you're hoping that 2019 is a similar to the 2017 breakout year Trent Murphy had.
Absolutely.
I think, and those guys are kind of similar. They're big, strong guys that had a lot of success in college, but aren't necessarily quick for the NFL game. They need to develop moves. I think that's what you hope for in Ryan Anderson. And I like the Trey Quinn call. I think they need a lot from him. My first four out are all pass catchers because what we talked about a while ago when we started this conversation, to me, the important players are who are going to keep you from bottoming out, who are going to keep you from having a 3-13 season. And these guys, Jordan Reed, Paul Richardson, Josh Doctson, Chris Thompson, to me, are luxuries. Because between injuries and production, those four guys haven't delivered a ton. Maybe they can. Jordan Reed has absolutely shown he can. Chris Thompson has absolutely shown he can. Doctson has not. Richardson did in Seattle, and did for a brief time in Washington. But those guys, you don't know what you're going to get from them, and the team is not dependent on them to get it. So I believe those are your first four guys out in terms of importance.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, obviously our biggest disagreement is Jordan Reed. I got him all the way up at two. You have him on this first.
Even
four
as
out.
We were going, I think you were saying that was too high for him.
I don't know about that. No, I mean, I understand. I just kind of started to understand that we see this list differently, which is fine.
In no way does that mean I don't think Jordan Reed's a really good player.
Sure.
I think Chris Thompson's a really good player.
Of course.
It's just importance.
Right. Understood. All right. So who do we have overrated? Who do we have underrated? 800-636-1067. You've heard our list. Gripes, agreements, whatever you'd like. You can call in. 800-636-1067. Your calls on this. J.P. Finley, Craig Hoffman in for Chad Dukes today on Chad Dukes versus the World. Wrapping up from Hollywood Casino, Craig Hoffman, J.P. Finley at the Sportsbook. We are keeping an eye on all of these games. Really, Wisconsin, Oregon are the big ones. There's the big one right now. Buffalo, Arizona State is...
big one for us.
Wrapping. Well, there's only two games going, and Buffalo, Arizona State's all but over. Also, need to apologize to Landfill. Apparently, the callers at the end of the last segment, it was on them. He was punching them up, doing his job. And despite the fact that he did not do a fast food pinata today, and we're very sour about this, he was still performing his job duties.
Well, I will talk to Landfill directly. I am disappointed in the fast food pinata. I am not apologizing because I don't even – what are we apologizing for?
The callers at the end of the last segment, they just ghosted us.
Okay. Well, whatever.
It was not his fault. It was not a faulty phone operation.
Here's what I need to know from Landfill. Who is – he has a burner account tweeting me, at 1067_the_fan, and this person wants me to ask somebody if this is a Landfill burner account. I know that Landfill has multiple burner accounts, so Landfill, we're in the 6 o'clock hour. We're on the home stretch here, pal. Can you speak to us now? Still nope. Silence.
He is silent on the day, which is just a terrible bit.
I'm calling you on my ride home, Landfill, and we're going to talk.
I'm not.
I bet Landfill knows the best places for me to stop between here and Bethesda.
Probably not. You want to know what could have been good? Him going to one of them for a fast food pinata.
I know. Yeah. But why? You just apologize to him. Retract it.
Look, I'm trying to be accurate. I am upset about the fast food pinata. I am not upset at him for something he didn't do. My anger is properly channeled.
So you just believe that the caller's messed up?
Yeah, because PJ said it. And if PJ starts lying to me, then my whole life is over.
PJ was trying to get me to call you from the train yesterday. And I was trying to politely be like, dude, it's a terrible idea because the service is going to be terrible.
Yeah, and we determined that was a bad idea. And we were cool with it. We wanted to see if you had gotten to a better area, like an area of civilization where the train was going. But that's not how trains work. They go
They go either, where it's not civilized.
Right. It's like we are going to be in a stop or a dead zone.
Right.
And
right,
we're
right.
just going to scoot in between. That's how that works. But ultimately.
Can I tell you something, Hoff?
Yeah, yeah.
This is emotional for me.
Why is this emotional?
I have never spent this much time in a casino stone cold sober as I have today. I don't think I've been in a casino without a drink in my hand for 10 minutes. And we've been here since 1 o'clock.
Yeah. And we've been productive.
Yeah. I think we've had a good show.
I think we've had a good
Brock
show.
Brock gives us thumbs up.
I think we had a good podcast that we recorded that people can check out.
Yeah, I think that's up already. I haven't tweeted it. I feel like it's a little much if I tweet out my podcast while I'm on the radio.
No.
I feel like CK wouldn't love that.
No.
So I didn't tweet it out.
I wouldn't love that.
Okay.
But I would love for you to tweet it out as soon as we're done, with all due respect to whatever's coming up next on this radio station.
At that point, I'm getting a beer.
Sure. By the way, speaking of someone we've been speaking about.
Can we get – all right, so Chris Russell's coming up next from Capital One in advance of Caps Wild tonight.
Correct.
Which I believe is Bruce Boudreaux coming back to town.
That is correct.
Can we get Russell on the phone for a minute and have
for
him
what
weigh
purpose?
Have him weigh in on AP and Guice. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, that would have been good to think of, not with 13 minutes left in the show.
This weird landfill burner account just – I have no idea what's going on anymore.
I don't want to speak to you right now, it says. That's funny. That is very funny.
Landfill, speak now or forever hold your peace.
And he's holding
Darn
his
it,
peace.
Landfill. Darn it.
All right, so we got into this huge kerfuffle, verbal kerfuffle. Everything's fine. JP and I still, we're cool.
Hoffman and I are friends. We disagree about.
Disagreement.
Wait till someday they should hear us argue about the NBA, because that's when it gets real.
Yeah, that's a little more personal.
Yeah.
As you make it personal about that, how could anybody like that?
No, I like the NBA.
Let's not do it now.
All right.
What outside
to be clear,
of running
I like
back,
the NBA.
To take it away from running back, though, because we had this giant list of 20 players each, 16, and then a first four out. The other big disagreement was Jordan Reed. But is there anybody else that you feel really strongly about that I have that you just can't believe that I have that person, or that you just like, hey, that guy's got to be higher?
The fact that you have Keenum and Colt McCoy at 13 and 14, I think, is crazy. I have Keenum at number 3. But, no, I think we're largely – I mean, outside – because you have Chris Thompson up there. I think big guys are more important. I think having the linemen, having the D-linemen, I think that will do more to win and lose games than the rest of this stuff. But, no, I think Ioannidis deserves to be on the list, certainly ahead of Sean Dion Hamilton. I'm not entirely convinced that Sean Dion Hamilton – would start over Mason Foster, because Mace could call plays. I think we both agree Reuben Foster's not calling plays.
Yeah.
Mason could do that, has done it.
Right.
So
I think Sean Dion Hamilton's going to be the starter. Mason, I think.
I think so, too.
Unless, by the way, there is no – do I want to say no one? Yeah, I'm pretty sure no one. There is no one I wish that falls to 15 more than Devin White at LSU.
I'm right there with
he
you.
He is a –
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Perfect.
Transform
a linebacker prospect.
Sure. All right, let's do this, dude. What do you think happens at 15? Today is what, the March 20th or something?
Well, hold on.
Oh,
that thought.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse hotline where Christopher Russell
Joe the Rooster Russo
is on hold.
Before we get to him, I want to say thank you to my guy, John Auville. Johnny Cake said, for the love of God, can somebody please buy JP Finley a beer? I'll take it. We're almost done with the show. I'll take it at this point. CK, I hope that's okay.
JP, you need more than one beer, pal.
all right, so, Chris, have you been listening to our verbal kerfuffle?
I did hear off and on through the rain and through the traffic, but yeah, about Adrian Peterson and Darius.
No way. All right,
yeah,
so here's how I'm
going
to phrase this question, and I will tell you, you only have 10 minutes to answer.
I'll take all of it.
Thanks a lot, Hoffman.
If Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis are both healthy going into...
You're already leading the... You're already framing the question.
That was the question all along.
No, it's not. Whatever. Just ask it your way.
If Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis are both healthy going into the season, because we cannot predict injuries,
mm-hmm.
who is the starter at running back?
if completely healthy and Darius Geis has at least played in one preseason game, meaning that third preseason game at the minimum, because nobody would expect him to play in the fourth, then I would say there is probably a 80-85% chance that Darius Geis is the starter in week one. If he has not played in any game action because of a setback, because they're just being cautious, then I think they roll out Adrian Peterson to start week one. But I could be completely wrong on that.
So Russell, if you're making a list today, who is the more important player for the Redskins in 2019? Who do you have on that list?
If we're just talking running backs, or are we talking about the whole thing you guys were doing with the top 16?
The whole thing, but big debate has boiled down to AP or Geis. And here's where I am with AP and Geis. There is this assumption that it only boils down to Geis being healthy. AP
right.
was also very, very good, and he was hurt too. Wow,
no,
Brock is
no,
my guy. Brock just got me a beer. Cheers to Brock.
You know, listen, I would think, you know, to me, both of you guys have more merit and certainly some points, and I do think it'll be, you know, assuming both are healthy and assuming both are ready to go for week one, I think what you'll see is one series maybe Geis, one series Peterson, and then maybe a mix, depending if it's a longer series. You know, of course, if it's a, you know, 10, 11, 12 play drive and they're kind of rolling, you know, maybe they stick with one guy. But if it's just, you know, if they're kind of moving the ball through the air, maybe they mix and match depending on personnel, all that. The bottom line is to me, I think they have to be very leery of expecting too much from Adrian Peterson. I know what he gave you was a bonanza of epic proportions last year, 1,250 combined yards, a little over 1,000 rushing. I know the two big long touchdown runs, one and a loss on Monday Night Football, won against the Giants to seal that win in New Jersey. You can't expect that. That would be my whole point, is you can hope for that. You can't
expect
that.
What can you expect from Geis, Rooster?
Well, to me, as long as he's healthy, and again, that's the ultimate qualifier for everything, right? We you guys have made that clear. I think everybody is going to say as long as he's healthy. I think what you're expecting to me is a guy who, you know, certainly can obviously take some of those interior runs and maybe give a little bit more sizzle when nothing is there. Adrian did that a couple of times, but the Philadelphia run, to me, was the long run that he had where it was more up the middle. Whereas if the Giants run, the 64-yarder to kind of end that game, was because of a sweep kind of to the right and great blocking out on the edge and on the perimeter. To me, I think Geis is more the hammer, more the nuts and bolts, if you will, back with some pop and with some explosion, assuming that, again, he's healthy and that he's fully recovered. Whereas to me, Adrian Peterson, I think...
That was never the assumption in this conversation, though. I'm sorry to jump in, Russell.
Right. No, I think Adrian Peterson can best
be used... That is framing the conversation different than we've been debating all
afternoon.
Here,
don't you guys agree that Adrian Peterson would be best utilized if he's used from time to time, but then used as ultimately the finisher inside the red zone? That's where I think Adrian Peterson's role can be still very, very important and critical while spelling Geis and having Geis as being kind of the lead or more of the lead back.
Yes. One word answer. You get your words are either Geis or Peterson. If you were doing this top 16 list, most important Redskins for 2019, who would you have ranked higher?
Geis is who I would go with.
Cannot limit it to one word. We tried our best. Hey, you get all the words you want.
Still,
you get all the words you want coming up at 6:30. Thanks for calling real quick, and we'll hear from you at the bottom of the hour.
Thank you, Rooster.
Thank you, Toss.
See ya. That's Chris Russell. He will be talking
Hoffman
caps.
Completely changed the debate. The people know the truth, Hoff. I'm getting tweets that Hoffman changed the debate. My guy Kendall just said so. You're right. Like, what we've been arguing about for 2 hours is not what you just presented to Russell.
But as people called in, the debate changed. People went, I don't care. Adrian's the starter.
All right, we also got to hit this. I know we got to go. And
we got 5 minutes. We're good. There's a lot of loose ends to wrap up.
Literally, Landfill is just sitting there laughing. PJ Elliott tweeted out a video. He's just sitting there laughing every time we try to talk to him.
Yeah.
Landfill, the show's almost over, dude.
No, we're done. He's forever holding his peace. Like, we're done.
Landfill?
He had his chance to speak. We're still cool. Like, it's fine. We'll see him in the future.
Here's what I'm going
to
tell him,
on this day.
I got a voucher.
Tressway has been called.
For an epic buffet. They literally call it the epic buffet. This thing has roast beef, crab legs. I mean,
yes,
fried fish, as Hoffman showed the world.
Really showed the world. I just ate the fish.
Because it was Chad Dukes' show, I got both boiled cabbage and coleslaw.
Yes, you did.
Landfill, I have a voucher that you could come with me to the Epic Buffet, but you have to speak now. And here's what else I'll do. I will give you my voucher when I see you next week. And you can come out here, and I can only imagine the damage you can inflict on this buffet, sir. But you have to speak right now.
He's dedicated to the bit.
Wow, that is committing.
That is.
Because you know Landfill wants to hit the Epic Buffet.
It's a long way. I'm pretty sure Landfill knows plenty of closer buffets.
Yeah, but dude, he lives in Ashburn or something. This is a home game for him.
Sure.
Although it takes an hour as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, I got about an hour drive home. Slightly longer than Ashburn, but it'll be fine. So we got Oregon up by 6 right now, 46-40.
That's
on Wisconsin.
Good.
How's your bracket doing, by the way?
I'm terrible at brackets.
As am I.
My boy Rudy runs a really big pool that I only do because he's my friend and I've been doing it for so long. But I'm out of the bracket business. I do one. NBC Sports Washington has a big one that's sponsored by Chasen Boscolo. So I do that one because it's a big...
Again, my boss is thrilled that you're plugging your sponsors.
Well, plug yours. I don't know.
We have been. That's what we do in the commercial breaks. That's what the commercial breaks are.
Is there not a 106.7 bracket?
I don't believe we have an external bracket. No, we have something inside.
Oh, I saw. And didn't Lingy Bach not put everybody in the write-up and people were mad?
It was the whole thing.
Rock, you filled one out? No way.
Did Shorts put you on the site?
I was not asked. I was not invited.
Was Landfill invited?
That makes two of us.
Hold on. They didn't invite Hoff?
No.
Hoffman, the basketball expert?
It's fine. Not in college. As evidenced by the amount of red in my bracket. The reason, JP, I'm asking is my mother... has informed me that multiple times, hey, I'm doing a bracket for the first time. I just got a text. She's 20 of 23 so far.
That's fantastic. Is your mom a college hoops head?
No, hell no.
My mom is. You should see the text I get from my mom. She starts cursing. It's pretty wild. My mom, North Carolina is college hoops country. She grew
I just
up
learned
there.
A lot about you, my friend.
Oh, dude. If you met my mom, you would get it.
I would understand. I met your sister out in L.A., She told me some stories. None of those can be repeated right now. That's fine. So you got a bunch of good games tonight, too, by the way, Zion Williamson and Duke.
Look at these texts from my mom about Minnesota, Louisville, the Big Ten. The only problem is Minnesota's coaches looks like a weasel.
That's Richard Pitino.
So she knows what she's talking about.
Also resembles his father. That's J.P. Finley. I'm Craig Hoffman throwing shots at the Pitino family on the way out. Good time that was had by all. Thanks to everyone here at Hollywood Casino for hosting us these last couple of days.
Hollywood Casino's been awesome. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks to Bear for running the shows.
Big Bear. And for giving me some batteries earlier. That's my guy.
Thanks to Brock for helping us out here today. PJ yesterday. And Landfill, yes, thanks to you. Back
did you guys
in
need
the
something?
Studio. Oh, you're... hilarious. Yeah, I need you to end the show. Roll out the trash cans.
Landfill!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.